I love all of you.
Amen.
And I believe that in this short time together, the God of blessing is going to bless each one of us.
Amen.
And He will bless every church in this part of the earth.
Amen.
What a wonderful God we have. This little booklet, Praising. No, I can't make any requirements. This is not a training. But I personally hope that every saint in the Lord's recovery will have that little booklet.
Amen.
And it is in various languages. And just to read it very carefully, with an exercised spirit and an opened heart, you will realize the utmost importance is praising. And please notice that this is from Brother Watchman Nee. And there was a brother who's now in Anaheim who was in prison with him for a length of time. When he was there for 20 years. And he had been suffering in a profound way physically from the time he was very young, only around 20 or 21. He thought he would pass away. But regardless of the situation he was in his being, he was praising the Lord.
Amen.
And so, the Lord is on the throne, and one thing He's doing is shepherding all of us and each one of us. I enjoy saying this about Him, Christ that is. He's in the heavens, He's on the throne. We know from a verse in the New Testament, Christ is with us. But get ready, Christ is in you.
Amen.
He's actually in you right now as the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And so as the Lord is flowing out in my portion of the meeting, He will be enlightening you, shepherding you, encouraging you, because each one of us is a member of the body. And I hope you will have a very deep realization that each one of you has a portion of Christ that no one on the earth has. That's why there will be close to 30 minutes after the message. One brother will begin, another brother will end, but then there'll be plenty of time. And I just would ask you, not require you, just follow the inner sense. No matter where you're sitting, no matter your age, whatever it is, because you have a portion of Christ that no one has. Now, a general subject, praising and overcoming in the end of this age. None of us can say for sure that the Lord is coming very soon, but we all have the sense we are at the end of this age. It's been 2,000 years. But something is going to happen visibly, and this will make it clear to each one of us that we will now have 3.5 years to be prepared, to be raptured. Otherwise, the saints will stay the next 3.5 years through that situation. And then on the personal side, I've just seen this in saints from so different localities, many of them older than I. But even with our Christian life, if we complete it before the Lord comes to rapture us, there's just this loving concern that each one of us will have the sense if their time is coming to an end, deep within you have the sense, not your thought, but deep within, I have finished the race. Amen. And there's one young brother, he's not a young man now, but every time I see him, he knows what I say at the moment because of the fellowship we had. I just said, keep running the race. And if you had mistakes, I'd learned much from this one writer in the Old Testament. He just spoke to the enemy. He said, yes, I have fallen down many times, but I will get up and I will continue to the end. Amen. And so I've been knocked down, but by the indwelling Christ, we stand up. You want to know why? You have the power of Christ's resurrection in your being right now. Amen. And I just would suggest a verse for anyone who is in a particular situation, whether it's physical or elsewhere. That's in Romans 8:11. That the power of Christ's resurrection will be dispensed into you. So we are praising and overcoming. And so in each message, the first part is on praise. And then the second part, we're dealing with overcoming. But I will point out in a very specific matter where we have to experience the indwelling Christ and overcome in that situation. But you'll see. And so I'll mainly read, but we read with the Spirit. And God is light, and God is going to not give us light. Right at this moment, God is being light. And we know from 1 John, in God we will become light. We will become light, and we will become love. This is what the Bible says. Okay, the sacrifice of praise. So this indicates that we may have, as a beginning, well, I praise when I'm having a happy time or something wonderful happened to me. Oh, with the government, I made a mistake. And I paid them, believe it or not, I paid them $4,000 too much. And so it came to me, praise the Lord. But what would someone respond if it was the other way around? Because their feeling is, you praise when something delightful has happened for me. And all of us begin that way. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all had to be young before we mature. And so let the dear saints be young. Let them be able to express where they are. Don't criticize them. Don't try to force them to do something more. But there will be a profound level regarding this. We will praise in the midst of any and every situation. I remember this actually happened from a brother that was in the Lord's recovery. This is now around 1905. During that period of time, Christians were being killed wherever they found them. And a number of them are taken to a place to be put to death. So this one young man was just watching out the window of where he was living. And he saw this rather young sister just sitting in the back, praising the Lord, knowing the outcome. This praising the Lord for what the Lord is, not just only for what he does. Even if he does do this for you, if you have a certain kind of illness, and of course you could pray and ask the Lord to heal me, but lets you get the realization he's not going to heal, but he's going to take care of me in another way by dispensing the power of his resurrection life. And so therefore, there's going to be a sacrifice of praise that we're praising in challenging situations. So we go through this portion and we'll see point by point. The highest expression of a spiritual life is praise to God. The highest expression in our spiritual life is praise to God. I was encouraged by reading one of the Psalms where David said, I praise the Lord 7 times a day. And I had learned, don't try to imitate what anyone else is doing. But I hope to see him in the coming age. Hope I don't have to wait to the new heaven and the new earth. We could see him in the next age and say, I really was helped by that verse you said, I praise the Lord 7 times. But may I share something with you? I praise the Lord 47 times a day. Not boasting, I'm just saying this is what the indwelling Christ did. And then I wouldn't be surprised, just for the kind of fun of it, then there's a mature, overcome sister that said, that's so few. I praise the Lord 372 times. Eventually, a really mature saint will say, I can't stop praising. There will be a time when our praying is over, but our praising will last, get ready, forever.
Amen.
Okay, 1 and 2. God's throne is the highest point in the universe. Yet he sits enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God's name and even God himself are exalted through praise. We should praise the Lord all our life and sing praises to our God.
Amen.
It would be wonderful if sometime tomorrow we come to the meeting and say, Saints, I give the thankfulness of God. Here's a new song to him on praising. Then point three, we should praise the Lord all our life and sing praises to our God. B, the Psalms contain chapters not only of praises, but also of suffering. God wants his people to know that the praising ones are those who have been led through trying situations and whose feelings have been wounded. And many of you, dear saints, this applies, as you know, exactly to you. Not just one time, and not in a shallow way. You have gone through a number of very difficult situations, but you're still here because the Lord is dwelling in you and you are growing in life. So God wants his people to know that the praising ones, I'm reading this again, are those who have been led through trying circumstances. Two, in the Psalms, we can touch the most wounded feelings, and also we can find the greatest and highest praises. If you would ask me, Ron, what are the greatest and highest praises, I would have to say, I don't know yet. I'm just on the journey like you, but this is going to be a corporate matter. The greatest and highest praises. God uses hardships, difficulties, and slanders to create praise in his people. One time, maybe 2019, during the summer training, I gave a message related to spiritual warfare and the victory of Christ. And then a young person sent this strong email saying that you have nothing, you can do nothing, and you are nothing. And my response was, you're just a young one. Long before you were born, I came to realize with peace, I am nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing. But instead of that, Christ is becoming everything.
Amen.
These are not just words. We talk about the all-inclusive Christ, that means any natural thing in us that enables us to do something very nice needs to be replaced by the all-inclusive Christ. He comes, he causes them to learn through difficult circumstances and to become praising persons before the Lord. This kind of praise is most pleasing to God and is blessed by him. See, pleasing to God. That means God can be happy. God can be pleased. And so on one side, pleasing to God and blessed by Him. What kind of daily life would be, this would be? Praising and being the Lord's blessing. Bless them. God desires to see His people writing psalms and praising Him when they, quote, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is genuine praise. Again, we know these verses. They are of utmost importance. But many of us here, we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, not just one time, again and again and again. But, while that was taking place, deep within, the depths of our being, we're still praising Him. I'm not only continuing to pray to you, but this puts the enemy to shame that someone is going through this with you as the source, but you are being defeated by this one praising the Lord. God desires to see His people. Okay, you have that one. 7. The nature of praise is an offering of sacrifice. Then we continue. Section C. We realize that God's throne is established in the heavens and cannot be shaken. And we do not hold back our praises. We do not hold back. So we have to stand against ourself, something in us, in our emotion. I don't feel like it. My situation doesn't help me do it. But we do not hold back our praises, not just praise, praises. This is the sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice. It's not a requirement. Please don't take it as that. It's a development in a way of glorifying the triune God. And again, I say, to put Satan to defeat and shame. And now we're coming to the second portion, overcoming the church in apostasy, the church in Thyatira. Well, we will look into what is mentioned here. But when we come to the latter part of the message, sections F and G, we will all be at the very center of experiencing this and how important it is and how crucial it is. But we have to go step after step. I say to you, who have not known the deep things of Satan, I put no other burden unto you. The Greek word for deep things denotes mysterious things, but these are mysterious things that we should ignore. These kind of mysterious things are demonic. Even in that kind of religious situation, the Roman Catholic Church has many mysteries or deep doctrines. I don't know the name of the brother in Southern America, but he has a high position in the Roman Catholic Church. And he was saved and was brought into the Lord's recovery. I look forward to meeting him again. But again, we'll see, we're not here trying to deal and overcome that situation. But we have to overcome the essence of what is in this terrible place. The religion of the synagogue, the world under Satan's throne, and the philosophy of the satanic mysteries are all used by Satan to damage and corrupt the church. And he still would apply this in a subtle way. That's why you look again in Matthew 16, when the Lord said, it will be built right here. But at the same time, the enemy will attack at the same moment. What you have, hold fast until I come. This is not an exciting thing. But you look at Ephesians chapter 6, the section on spiritual warfare corporately, and the emphasis is stand. Brother Nee has a little booklet that is very helpful entitled Sit, Walk, Stand. First you sit with Christ in the heavenlies, chapter 2. We walk with Christ, that is chapter 4. And now we stand with him, that he has won the victory. And now we stand with him in his victory. And so we need our inner being to be strengthened, that we hold fast until he comes or until we are raptured. This indicates that the apostate Roman Catholic Church will remain until the Lord comes back. To overcome here is to overcome Roman Catholicism. Now we're getting very close to the burden, and we'll focus on this for a length of time. Yeah, plenty of time. He who overcomes and he who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Okay, authority. I need to pause here concerning authority. In the kindness and the wisdom of the Triune God himself, in the spring of 1910, 66, the year that in October I came into the Lord's recovery. But I was trying to, in a certain meeting, share about certain things about authority. And then in the following week, these are very dear saints and friends. One sister older than I am, a brother even more mature than I. And they said, "Ron, you need to really understand authority." And actually the point is, when you touch God's authority, it's like putting your finger into the wall and you go, and you realize you'll never touch it again. It's not just a doctrine. Someone talks about there's such a thing called this authority. Remember at the end of Matthew 28, this was the Lord revealing himself with the apostles under the mountain. And then he said, "I've been ascended to the Lord, and now I have all authority in heaven and on earth." And we need to learn concerning this and begin to realize it's part of our Christian experience to settle this matter. Now we have to be clear. Only God has authority. There is no one in the Lord's recovery who has authority. Any brother who thinks, because I'm a leader of this and that, I'm the man of authority. There may be, and there are, sisters and brothers through whom the Lord's authority can be expressed, but they themselves, in their being, do not have any authority. Amen. And we have to realize this. We may want to have fellowship with one of the co-workers or an elder in the church, and you respect them, but you realize, and I hope he also realizes, I do not have any authority. But there may be the sense that the Lord has made a certain kind of arrangement in an experiential way that he can flow out his authority in this situation. The enemy has his way of power. And yes, God's power is much stronger than that. But many times his response is to apply his authority. The enemy knows God has authority. That's why during the 1,000 years, Satan will be in the abyss for 1,000 years. Then he'll be released for his final battle. Then he'll be in the lake of fire. That's authority. You don't kind of vote for it. And it would be of great help, dear saints, if this word authority becomes clear and real with you. And when you have the sense, when you're fellowshipping with someone who's, and you're seeking for fellowship because he's, you know, more mature in life, more experience, And in the sense, you will be contacting authority, but the brother will realize, I do not have authority, I am not authority. But the result of the Lord's dealing, I can be the channel of his authority just flowing out. And starting in April of 1974, in Los Angeles, I began to work side by side with Brother Lee. Only the two of us for the next 11 years. And every time we began to work together on Thursday morning, he would have just such a endearing prayer and so sincere, but in a sense so simple. But it made it clear that he was testifying that I am under your authority. We're doing everything, this work together is under your authority. Amen. I hope that any saint would be open for the Lord to wash away any personal feeling or thought that because I'm a leader, I have authority. The Lord is merciful, and we're in the age of grace. But you don't want to have this thought about yourself. Because I'm this or that. Because I'm much older than most of you. If you're more than 86, then you may consider me, well, still a young guy. I'm 89. Well, I'm surely going to respect that. But we both realize only God has authority. Amen. And it will eventually, in the coming age, over all the nations. So now let's look under the points on this. To reign with Christ over the nations in the millennial kingdom is a prize to the overcomers. No prizes at this time. And we should reject anything like this in your being. If someone would say this, wow, you have authority and this and that. You know, don't argue and say, don't say that I claim to have authority. Then that's false authority, what I'm just doing. But inwardly, you just realize, I just let this flow away. But notice, to reign with Christ over the nations. This is what the Lord is aiming for. Don't you want to be living in the next age? To be a co-king for 1,000 years? Amen. Of course, I have the same hope that you have. Every once in a while, I think the Lord was okay, because I was kind of being, just playing around. But where might I be? You know, my grandfathers, they were all in Finland. Maybe I'll be way up north in Finland. Or maybe I'll be in this other place. Eventually the Lord is silent, and by being silent it is saying, stop talking about it to me. And there is a verse about this. He's not angry, but he's definite. And so, but we are being trained to reign with Christ. Okay, point two, the promise of the Lord strongly implies that those who do not answer his call to overcome degraded Christianity will not participate in the reign of the millennial kingdom. We have reason to believe that there are saints in the Roman Catholic Church. I've met one or two of them. And they don't have the leading to leave. But there's reason to believe that at least a small number, there will be some overcoming saints. And there are some in various denominations. We shouldn't have the thought that if you're not in the Lord's recovery, you can never be an overcoming saint. We should never have this view. But based upon chapter 12 in Luke, there's something that is quite of importance. It's when all the saints are standing before the Lord at the judgment seat, and the vast majority will be able to say, I didn't know. But they're not making an excuse that I didn't know anything about this. I thought that in John 3:16, if I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. I didn't know what it meant. And the Lord would say, I know you didn't know. So doing in the 1,000 years of this age, there will be less suffering for you. The suffering, not the punishment, but the suffering related to growing in life to maturity. But from our point of view, on one side, we are blessed to know the truth. Brother Nee and Brother Lee paid a tremendous price to just make the truth known. And so we can't say to the Lord, we didn't know. The Lord would really say, you knew it, but you didn't do it. And so there's these two sides that are going together. Personally, I'm very thankful and I appreciate that I know these things through the ministry of the age. I'd rather know than not know. But now I realize I have a greater responsibility than millions of others of saints. And so, Lord, in my relationship with you, do what only you can do, but deal with me in any way you have to do, that I can be rapture ready, that I can be prepared to be a co-king with you. Amen. That I thank you for making it known, but I'm now in a fresh way, I'm consecrating myself to you, that whatever it takes, whatever I need to go through, this is the choice. It could take place in the next 1,000 years, or it could take place during our life on the earth now. And why not make, but this has to be a personal decision on you. It has to be between you and the triune God to say, Lord, I thank you for learning this about your authority and being a co-king. And I make the decision. I want to reach this situation here and now. And I'm just opening to you. Do whatever you need to do. And I just want to encourage the saints. Don't be afraid of anything that might happen. There is fear in our natural being. But the more you allow Christ to make his home in your heart, your response to what seems to be dreadful situations won't have that effect. May the Lord cover me again. I know some of you have heard this, maybe many of you, that when I had severe pain in the center of my body, I just had to contact dear brother Rick Scatterday. I said, please take me to the ER immediately. The pain, and I don't ask for help with pain right away. I've had to go through this kind of pain, but it's beyond my ability. And so they took me in, and soon as I arrived, they brought into this place. And then they said this, we understand the source of this pain, but there's something else that is necessary. You have to have a quadruple heart surgery as soon as possible. And when I heard that, there was just peace. If that had not had taken place, if I had not had that pain, go to that place for them to say, we'll take care of it later. But now from the blood tests and the other examinations, this is the situation. We need to take care of this. But there had to be 3 days more to test everything to be sure that your body can subdue this. And the night before, two of the women that were serving, they woke me up, have a shower. A couple hours later, another shower. And then I'm putting on this thing to take us rolling down. And with such peace. And then it was during the recovery time for 48 hours, I was wide awake. And during that time, the Lord was shining the depths of the being, things that needed to be judged and dealt with. And I said, amen. Go ahead deeper and deeper. But then immediately, on the positive side, there's just peace and joy and praising. I would much rather have gone through these things here and now and had in the memories of it to be not negative things. This was another way of appreciating the triune God. This sounds very simple, but now I'm beginning to learn God really is God. Amen. And just be God in this situation. Amen. And so in this condition that we were in, we were under his authority in this. Okay. Point two. Even if I read it before, I don't remember exactly where I am, but I'll go from two. This promise of the Lord strongly implies, I'm rereading, that those who do not answer his call to overcome degraded Christianity will not participate in the reign of the millennial kingdom. We need to respond to the overcoming. My works refer to the things the Lord has accomplished and is doing These works contrast with the works of the apostate church, which are carried out under the influence of Satan. Believe it or not, Satan in a subtle way is dealing with all these religious situations. He will shepherd them with an iron rod. If you ask me, I can understand. He will shepherd us. But what does it mean to have an iron rod? I can't explain it. But it shows his authority, I think, at least that's involved. As vessels of pottery who are broken in pieces and also have received from my Father. Okay, I need to pause here. And I just ask the Lord to cover all the saints. When we're about to hear, don't allow the enemy's fear to attack you. But toward the end of his time of serving, Brother Nee, also along with Brother Lee, but with Brother Nee, he had a very deep concern. And that's why he gave these messages on the breaking of the outer man for the release of the Spirit. And I remember, I can just give you the outside. I realized this. I knew it had to happen. And I just told the Lord, I need to have this experience. But eventually I had to learn, at your time and in your way. Then I remember in 1982, on a Thursday, in the evening, we can never see the presence of the Lord, but he came directly in the request that I made. And he knew exactly where to go, not just this part of the soul, that part of the soul, but through all three parts. In one moment, he broke through. And I have reason to believe it, and I'll explain why in a moment. Some very mature saints, like Brother Lee himself and his wife, and I know one other sister, much older than me, 40 years older, that whenever I'm walking on the sideway, going to Brother Lee's house, and she's walking, I don't say a word because of where she are in this situation. And was an example of a sister, but they're broken in pieces. It might be helpful for you to get that little booklet. If you have the leading, the feeling to do it. And then in your personal relationship with the Lord, and to say, Lord, I know that this must take place sometimes, somewhere. And I ask you to break through while I'm still here on the earth. Haven't we consecrated our body to the Lord? Doesn't he know how to take care of not only our spirit, not only our soul, but our body, what we need. The vessels of pottery broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father. In the millennial kingdom, the ruler is a shepherd. Dear saints, everyone is ruling. Everyone who is a co-king will be a shepherd. And that is why chapter 2 of 1 Peter is of great help, that he is dwelling in us to be the shepherd of our soul, that we may enjoy the Lord. But when it comes to shepherding, this also is a function of every saint and every member of the body. And so we have this aspect of our being. And if you would look back, I believe many of you can say in a very difficult situation, and I just sought to have fellowship with this saint I knew that had the experience. And then when I walked away, you just realized he shepherded me. He didn't judge me. He didn't criticize me. He shepherded me. And shepherding is all-inclusive concern. You understand the needs of people, and you have the supply. And that's why in the coming kingdom, all of us that will be ruling, our ruling will be with shepherd. But there'll be iron rod. If most of the demons, they're limited, but still we're not in the perfect situation. And so there will be the way to deal with the enemy. Well, but we're mainly giving all-inclusive, tender care to be shepherded. If I hadn't been shepherded, I wouldn't be here. 1 week after I told you about that experience of the breaking of the outer man, then on a Thursday, maybe about 40 or 50 brothers had a kind of meal together, and we're going to have his sharing afterward, but I was sitting right next to him. Then he looked at me and he said, "You don't trust yourself anymore, do you?" And I had reason to believe that these mature saints praised for this. That's between them and God. I'm not going to ask them when I see them in the future. But just to realize, I'm so thankful that there was that kind of praying. They knew my situation. They knew that had to take place if I was to function fully according to God's desire. And they had that kind of prayer. Now, a little sidebar. I'm talking about prayers that are really prayers. There are prayers, quote, that are really not prayers. But when the prayers have their source in God Himself, and you are just letting this flow through you, they could honestly say they under knew my situation And they say, Lord, you knew what this brother needs to do. You want him to be in the ministry, but he has to, you have to lead him through this. And I'm so thankful that this was an invisible shepherding. But that was the scene. It wasn't this guy is too strong. He deserves it. It's like punishment. They didn't want any kind of punishment. But there was just the realization. You need this experience. He needs it. Deep within, he's open to it. But it was, again, this is so important that they did it in a spirit of shepherding, all-inclusive, tender care. Tender care. This requires a lot of experience, but this is the way we need to shepherd one another. There's no one who's above the others who can shepherd, but doesn't need shepherding. We can all shepherd, and we all need this shepherding. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 9, God gave Christ authority to rule over the nations. Here, Christ gives the same authority to his overcomers. So he has the authority, and in the coming age, the overcoming saints will function with this authority. And now, two precious points. From Revelation 1:2-28, and then a crucial verse in 2 Peter 1:19. To him I will give the morning star. Amen. I've been considering this, the morning star, that maybe this will be one of the messages for the December training, where we'll be entirely on Revelation. In chapter 22, that Christ will be the morning star, and we will become the morning star. And we'll see the significance of this. At his second appearing, Christ will be the morning star to his overcomers who watch for his coming. And we will see that the morning star is very, very early in the morning, but it's at the darkest part of that whole night. It's not just 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock. It's at the very end. It's the darkest time. But in that darkest time, Christ as the morning star reveals himself. And we will all be in the end of this age with this, the darkest time regarding the world is concerned. Dark beyond expression. Let's compare certain things that are happening from 10 years ago. And so, in the second appearing, I'm repeating this again for emphasis. In his second appearing, Christ will be the morning star to his overcomers who watch for his coming inwardly. We don't know how he's going to come, in what way he will come, but our inner being has this. I remember when Brother Lee was young and was being trained by this elderly woman from the UK, and she was there. If she hadn't been there, there wouldn't be a Witness Lee and Watchman Nee. There wouldn't be us. What a price she paid. And a group of young men that got saved, as a group, they would come and meet with him, and she would not only teach them, she was training them. And one by one, they left, except Watchman Nee. And when she was about to pass away, he was there by her bedside. And she said, I want you to have my Bible. But one thing that I remembered, this during the daytime, they're just walking on the street, and they were going to make a turn on the corner. And she said, when we turn the corner, maybe we'll see the Lord. She was living inwardly with waiting for the Lord's coming in our being. And I believe this is developing in many of us. We're just yearning for this. We want to come and rapture us. But at the same time, Lord, do what only you can do to make us ready to respond when you come. I've mentioned this before, but it's, to me, I think it's somewhat helpful. In Matthew 24, about rapture, two men are in the field, one is taken, the other left. Two women grinding, one taken, the other left. Well, the situation is they were all mature. But why was one taken and the other not? And there's a verse in 1 John chapter 2, I think it's 28 or 29, that when the Lord comes, we don't want to be embarrassed, but when he comes, we want to be abiding in him. At that moment, the abiding in him. In John 15 is, we abide in him and he abides in us. And this is now part of an early morning prayer. We ask for today's mercy and grace, but Lord, we exercise our spirit to abide in you. You will abide in me. And so we want to have this at the same time. So to those who wait for the Lord's coming back, he will appear to them privately as the morning star. So with each one of us, I hope he does it privately. We have no way how he will do it. He knows how to have a tender relationship with each one of us. And so in this private way, we realize you're the morning star, then we're gone. He won't make himself known to the whole earth. That will come later in a different way. I just hope within we just say, Lord, we want to be ready for your private morning star. Lord, please prepare me for this, whatever my situation is. Then 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Isn't this a precious verse? Doesn't it apply to you? To give heed, I'm emphasizing this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. I'm applying that word. No matter what the situation is, spiritually, we have the sense the day of dawn is very close. It's the darkest time we're in the whole world situation, but in our inner being, we are seeking the morning star rises in our hearts. So this means the star is in our being, especially in our spirit. But then the morning star needs to make its home in our hearts. The day dawning and the morning star in our hearts. Okay, it's a metaphor. It's a picture of something. When we give heed to the word of the scriptures as a lamp shining in a dark place, the condition within us will be like the day dawning and the morning star rising in our hearts. The condition, there needs to be a spiritual condition within us, within our being. I honestly believe it's developing in us, but now we ask the Lord that it will develop in a normal way so that you can, in our inner being, you can make us ready for your coming at the moment you indicate, because we've been abiding in him. So we'll be like the day of dawning. Amen. In our sense, Lord, a day is dawning. Others would say it's so dark, it's the darkest time. Well, that's the outward condition. But by the indwelling Christ gives us this sense. The day dawning. And the morning star will rise in your hearts. So this point, as we can I conclude my portion, that we're all familiar with this verse in Ephesians 3, where Christ is praying, is actually on his knees while he was in prison, and he was praying that Christ will make his home in our heart. And so it's of utmost importance, saints, that we, in your relationship with the Lord, day by day, to say, Lord, I turn to you. I apply the power of your blood. I'm exercising my spirit. I'm abiding in you, and you will be abiding in me. But I have a heart desire, so to speak. Lord, strengthen my inner man so that you can make your home in my heart. The words are simple. His home. Home. And so in our the various aspects of our heart, if it's a making a home, that's a place there, different places. He needs to have the opportunity to just flow through every part of our inner being. Like with our mind, the way we think, and certain memories, not positive ones, painful ones, every now and then they just rise up again. The Lord wants to make his home in this part of our heart, to save us from certain memories that are negative in us. And some dear saints have been living, governed by memories. I remember 20 or 30 years ago, just having a brief context in a way of caring older people. And she said, everything is fine. Don't worry about me. I live by my memories. And so that is her heart, but the human memories are there. But if we allow to make his home in our heart, then the things that he doesn't want us to remember, we can't make us not remember. But how can God do something like this? Isn't there a verse in 1 John that when we sin, we confess our sins and God forgives us, then he forgets. Has that ever happened to you when you thought, maybe I better just apologize to the Lord again? I've done it a few times before, but maybe I wasn't thorough. I know this happened at least one time when I was only in the church a couple of years. It's like he's saying, what are you talking about? Once he forgives, he forgets. And also on our side, we also need to be learned to forgive. It's of utmost importance, saints. Even if some would say, I know of one person who said, I'm ready to forgive if he will come to me in a sad way and ask for my forgiveness. But the indwelling Christ would say, forgive him now. And Brother Lee had this clear word. And he knows this will take place, and again in the coming age, when saints that he knew in this age, and they would come and say, Lord, we remember what we did, and please forgive us. And I have no doubt that Brother Lee would say, I forgave you already when I was on the earth. You didn't have to come and plead with me. So even in our heart, that on our side, are you willing to forgive? Or do you have the thought, if they come in a humble way and explain all that they did and are apologize for it, then I will let it go. I don't think you want God to relate to you in that way. Because we're in the age of the Lord is in our heart. And then, when all of this is clear, then we will have the sense the morning star is rising in my heart. Amen. So soon when he comes, in an instant, the star will rising in our hearts. And at that moment, we will be raptured. So this is my portion of this message. And if you have the feeling to, for about 30 seconds, to pray with someone nearby, and then one of our brothers will give a confirming word. And then whatever language you have, if you can at least come someone with you to the microphone to put it in English. But please follow the inner feeling to continue and complete the message. So let's pray and then prophesy.